Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to refer to a verse here, first of all, and then, the Lord willing, we might turn to other portions to illustrate what I have upon my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And perhaps we might render it somewhat like Mr. Darby has in his translation, that would bring out more clearly the thought that I had especially upon my heart. When he says that good thing which was committed, it's really that good deposit which was entrusted unto thee. Now, I'd like to apply that this afternoon to each and every one of us in the room who have, like Timothy, to whom Paul writes this, received the Holy Spirit. Because you'll notice he says, keep by the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. In other words, I want to address these remarks to those who are true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, not mere professors. For we find that here there is something entrusted to those who have received the Holy Spirit, and it's called a good deposit. And I have no doubt that it refers to all of the treasures of God, all of the precious things that God has for His people, and all that He has made known of Himself, all of those wonderful treasures He would make His people, who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, receptacles of these wonderful things. And one of the things that led me to speak on this subject is I was impressed with the fact that we had in the 13th of John with the Lord Jesus as the one to whom the Father had given all things into His hands. And we read again in the third chapter of John's Gospel that the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He was one to whom things were committed. We read in Colossians 1 that it was pleasing that in Him should all fullness dwell. And we know, of course, that nothing was lost. Nothing was diluted. Nothing was corrupted. Nothing was altered of what was committed into the hands of our blessed Lord as a man here in this world. Because I believe this refers to Him as the one who came here in manhood, in dependence upon God. And as a man here, He was a receptacle, you might say, of divine things. The Father committed all things into His hands. And all fullness dwelt in Him. And so we can read that of His fullness have we all received. It was all there in the Lord Jesus. But reference was made too in the readings to those who believed on the Lord Jesus, and that's the word that is used in the second chapter of John's Gospel. But it is said that the Lord did not commit Himself unto them. Nothing was committed to those believers. Nothing was committed. You might say they were untrustworthy. Nothing was committed unto them. You say, are there believers like that today? Well, you know, we have to take the Word of God in its context, and you cannot make a particular word mean the same thing in every setting. And I believe in John 2, where we have there those that believed when they saw the miracles that He did, would indicate that there was a mental assent. That is, they were persuaded humanly that this man was indeed a great man, and you might say they were impressed in a human way, but there was no real work of God in their souls. They were not born again of God's Spirit. There was not that repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no reality there, mere profession. To those who are, you might say, if you want to use that expression, believers of that sort, nothing is committed because they do not have the Holy Spirit. Turn to Ephesians 1. In the first chapter of Ephesians, we read as to those who receive the Spirit of God. We know that today the part of the world in which we live is filled with persons who profess to be Christian. That is, they profess to believe on the Lord Jesus. But we find the Holy Spirit is not given to mere profession. God is the knower of all hearts. And God gives the Holy Spirit to those who are in truth believers on the Lord Jesus Christ and who have believed the gospel of their salvation. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And I emphasize that. It's not merely believing that there is a gospel of salvation. It is not merely believing that there is a way of salvation and that the gospel declares that way. But this is speaking about those who have believed for themselves. They can speak of their own salvation. The gospel of your salvation. And this we would want to emphasize first of all this afternoon. That for one to be a receptacle of the divine treasuries of God, for one himself to become a treasury, of course, is a place where treasures are deposited, he must first of all be a spirit-indwelt believer, one who has believed the gospel of his salvation, one who has indeed, in truth, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for his soul's salvation and is at peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have believed the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So I would say to those in the room this afternoon, as a believer on the Lord Jesus, believing from the heart, that gospel that has been presented and which you have made to be your own, knowing that it was for your sins that the Lord Jesus suffered there on the cross of Calvary, delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. And you're able to say that it was my sins that he bore there in his own body. And now I am justified in him before God. Justified in a risen Christ. Even though a young believer in that way, even though you may not have made great progress in the Christian life, and you're not able to unfold much truth from the Word of God, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And you are now, you might say, a receptacle of divine treasury. God can now commit unto you the wonderful treasures that he has from himself. Treasures of divine things. Things that could not be committed to man in the flesh. Things that are not even to be, as it were, paraded before those who have not faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to impress upon every one of us the value that we have before God as his people. Now I know that perhaps one of the tendencies on the part of everyone is to downgrade oneself. And I don't want to take anything away from the thought that we should ever be conscious of our own nothingness. But on the other hand, I believe that the Word of God would encourage us to realize our value for God and what he has in his people and how he views his people. And then that thought this afternoon, I would like to speak a little bit about the Lord's people being treasuries. Now, we have sometimes spoken about the treasures, but a treasury is a place where treasures are stored. And we know, of course, that we have wonderful treasures in the Word of God. We have wonderful treasures that we have discovered by God's grace in His Word. But I want to apply it more from the standpoint of the individual believer being a treasury, a depository. And I think that's what Paul had before him in writing to Timothy when he speaks about that good deposit. There was something deposited there that Timothy was to keep by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwelt in him. And God would encourage us this afternoon to recognize that each and every one of us is a treasury in whom God has deposited His treasures. No doubt it may be more on the part of some than on the part of others. But everyone in the room this afternoon as a believer has a deposit that this world does not have. You have the knowledge of sins forgiven. You have the knowledge of a relationship with God as your Father. You have the knowledge of God Himself. You have the knowledge of peace with God. You have the knowledge of the future of God's people, that it is not a destiny here in this world, but it is glory with Christ. Now, these are very simple things. And I suppose that this is something that everyone who is a believer in this room knows. But have you ever thought of the value of these things? That these are things that God has deposited in your soul, that you're in possession of them. As one goes about in this world, one cannot help but feel the poverty in regard to the knowledge of God that is found in this world. Poor souls. They have no understanding of God. Their thoughts of God are warped and distorted and extreme one way or the other. We hear on this hand of those who are extreme in one direction in the thought of God and others extreme in another direction. Souls caught up in this cult. Souls caught up in this movement, and all of them contrary to the mind of God, all of them false in some way in regard to God and His precious truth. And to think that God has deposited in our souls that precious truth of what it is to be His, with God as our Father, associated with the Lord Jesus as His brethren, and the hope before us of His soon return. Well, I'd like to turn over for a moment to the book of Chronicles, chapter 28, I believe it is, and look at something of the treasures that are spoken of in that 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles. Here we have David, though he is not able to build the house of God, he gives to Solomon the pattern of it in verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries. Now you'll notice it doesn't say the treasures here, but the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, and of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Now there are many things that one might take up here in connection with this, but I'm going to confine myself to the thought of the treasuries that are mentioned, because this is what we want to consider. Treasuries are mentioned here three times in verse 11. It's just mentioned in a general way. It is in contrast to the next verse where we have the treasury spoken of as treasuries of the house of the Lord and treasuries of the dedicated things. Here it is in a general way, the treasuries thereof. And I've already mentioned some of those things that you might say would be deposited in this general treasury, this treasury of the things of God, and you might say the most elementary things deposited in the soul of the believer are the truths of salvation. We want to value that because, you see, the Spirit of God says through Paul, that good deposit that was entrusted unto thee, keep. We want to keep these things. Even those fundamental, those elementary truths of the gospel that have been deposited in our souls, we want to keep them. It's a part of the treasuries thereof. Now, our brother in his address to the young people this afternoon referred to the purposes of God in the epistle to the Ephesians. Well, this takes us a little bit beyond the thought of the salvation that we have, the truths of salvation, and brings us into the wonderful realm of the purposes and counsels of God. What God's thoughts are, what God is doing at the present time. You might not think that's a very great treasure to be entrusted in the treasury. But there are millions that have no idea of what God is doing. And there are movements that are going on today that purport to be of God's doing that are not. How many souls are deluded? Well, we can thank God that He has deposited in our souls the treasury, that treasure in the treasury of the purposes of God, what God is doing at the present time. And what He's going to do in the future in regard to this earth, those wonderful purposes and counsels of God. These are things deposited in the treasury of believers in you and me. We want to keep by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us. One might go through many things in a general way in regard to God. The revelation of Himself, the light of Himself. It's a wonderful thing to have the light of God in our pathway, the light of the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul had to say in writing to the Corinthians that some were ignorant of God. Now, I don't think he meant by that they were lost, but it meant they didn't really have a true understanding of what God was like. That's a wonderful treasure to have entrusted into this treasury the knowledge of the true God. To know what God is really like. And how are you going to know that? Only through this precious book that we have, the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, God, by His Spirit, impresses upon our souls and our hearts His very character, His very person. The way in which He works, the way in which He thinks. We find it, and this is why I would like to say, especially to young believers, do not neglect any part of the Word of God. I believe we need everything written from Genesis to the end of Revelation. Everything. The genealogies and everything, Ecclesiastes, everything that is written. It all serves to give us a knowledge of God in His thoughts, in His ways. What a wonderful thing to be entrusted in our souls, that good deposit that we have in this treasury that is spoken of here in a general way, the treasuries thereof. But then in verse 12, we see there is a treasury spoken of as, toward the end of the verse, the treasuries of the house of God. Well, I believe that this would bring before us the wonderful truth that God has entrusted to us in regard to His house. That God does have a house. We read in 1 Timothy of the church of the living God, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and support of the truth. God has a house. God has a dwelling place. It's the assembly here in this world. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And his house has been built. And we have in the Word of God treasures in regard to that. You might say that the Lord's people are viewed here as the receptacles of the precious truth of the assembly. Not only as the body of Christ, but as the house of God. We don't want to neglect that. While emphasizing the truth of the one body, we do not want to lose sight of the fact of the assembly as the house of God. For in connection with the house of God, we have the presence of God with His people, God dwelling in the midst of His people. And we have the thought of behavior, that which becomes those who are a part of that house, which is the church of the living God. These are treasures entrusted so that the believer becomes a treasury in regard to the treasures of the house of God. As I say, not only treasuries in a general way that brings before us the truth of God in His dealings with souls and God in His purposes and counsels, God in all of the revelation of Himself, but God in connection with His house and dwelling among His people here below. Well, maybe some have not gone on to enter into that, but God would desire to entrust this to you as well, to make you a depository of the truth of the assembly as well as the truth of that which we have to do with God as individuals, the treasuries of the house of God. Now also in that verse 12, we have the treasuries of the dedicated things. The treasuries of the dedicated things. Well, if we were to turn back earlier in this book of Chronicles where we have certain treasures mentioned, we have the treasures of the dedicated things, and we see that this was comprised of things that were devoted to the house of God that were taken in battle. Things that were taken as spoil in battle, and they were dedicated to the house of God. It meant, I believe, that these things were no longer to be held, or they were not to be held in a common and a careless way, but they were to be held in connection with God and His temple. They were now holy things, the dedicated things, but they were procured through battle. And I've often thought, you know, when the Lord says that other men have labored and ye have entered upon their labors. Oh, how that could be said of those of us here this afternoon. Other men have labored. When we think that we are living in a day when not only there were those who fought the battles of the Lord to give us the Word of God, and there were battles. You read the book of Acts, the battles that were fought there to not only give a footing, you might say, to Christianity in this world, but to maintain it. The battles of the Lord that were fought, and the wonderful spoil that was gained, and you might say has been deposited now in the treasury of the dedicated things. Not only that, but we're living in a day when God has recovered many of the treasures that were lost. And men of God have been raised up to restore and to recover precious truths. Other men have labored, and we've entered upon their labors. The dedicated things were those things that were gained in battle, and they have been dedicated to the house of God. And they're to be held now in holiness. They're to be held in connection with God, not in a loose and careless and indifferent way, but to be held as those things that are of great value to God, as those things that have been preserved or those things that have been brought in through great struggle and conflict and at great cost. That's really the position that we occupy. That's what's been entrusted to us. and we are those who are treasuries. Treasuries of God, treasuries of the house of God, treasuries of the dedicated things. And we're exhorted in Timothy, that word, keep. Keep. Now I'd like to just refer to Hezekiah and Isaiah 39, where we have failure in regard to this as a little word of warning for us. In Isaiah 39, we read at that time that Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, and notice where he comes from, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Well, we know that this displeased God. For a word comes from God to him. And verse 6, we have the judgment of the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that it, all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. That is, the treasury was going to be plundered. We've been speaking about the treasuries and how that which has been entrusted is to be kept. But here we see that it wasn't kept by Hezekiah. First of all, one might ask the question, why was he receiving these from Babylon? We know what Babylon is a type of. I believe Babylon is a type of Christendom that has corrupted the truth of Christianity. There might be the terms of Christian truth held in Christendom, but the truth of it is corrupted. It's a linking up with the truth of God and the world. That's really what Babylon is. It's a corruption of the truth by linking it up with the world and man in the flesh. And Hezekiah joins with them. He shows fellowship with them. He invites them into his kingdom, and he shows them all of these treasures. He's not handling them, as it were, dedicated things. If he had looked upon them as the treasury of dedicated things, he would have said, these Babylonians have nothing to do with this. But it shows how careless he became. He was careless enough to, as it were, have fellowship with these from Babylon in regard to the dedicated things. And this would suggest to my mind that the treasuries of the dedicated things would indicate that we are to hold these precious truths that God has revealed to us and recovered to us and entrusted to us and worked into our souls to be held in separation from the elements round about that would corrupt, that might take them up and use them in a fleshly and worldly way. And I believe, beloved, that this is one of the things that characterizes Christendom today. Taking the precious things of God and handling them in an unholy and in a careless and in a frivolous way. Taking such statements in Scripture about being born again and making it so commonplace, making it so frivolous, applying it to all sorts of experiences that have nothing to do with the work of God so that it is watered down to mean virtually nothing. There's a treasure, you might say, that's been carried off to Babylon because it wasn't kept. And there are other truths, too. Precious things that have been entrusted to the Lord's people and they haven't kept it from Babylon, as it were. It's been exposed to Babylon, and the result is it's carried off into Babylon, and it's spoiled. Well, my exercise was, beloved, that we might realize that we have been made to be receptacles of divine treasure, so that we are treasuries in ourselves, these treasuries of God, these treasuries of the house of God, and that we might recognize that they are dedicated things, treasures of the dedicated things, that they're to be held in communion and fellowship with God, and they're to be held as holy things. They're to be held in separation from a worldly Christendom. They're to be held in a way that would honor God, to be preserved in a way that would be for His glory, and not as Hezekiah here, who very carelessly and with somewhat abandon invites these to come right in and join with him in those treasures of which they really had no part at all. And the result, they were carried away into captivity. Would to God that we would recognize the value, not only of the things committed, but the value of ourselves as a treasury, and that we might be preserved. I think there's a connection with this, with our chapter in Matthew 13. The Lord looked upon those disciples with such value. He knew what they were going to be recipients of, and He wanted to keep them pure and clean so that they might be proper receptacles for the precious truths that He was going to make known to them. Well, may God exercise our hearts that we might, that good deposit, not only to value it, but keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us.